Thank you so much for being here today. Today we're speaking with Julie Hai. She is a leader of leaders. She's a disruptor. She helps leaders make big things happen. And she's going to help us today to understand the power of the role models. I really can't wait to know how all of this works and how she uses this strategically. Julie is the founder of the Julie Hai Consulting Firm. And she is an expert. She happens to be an expert in the leadership topic. Thank you so much, Julie, for being here today. Please let us know how all of this beautiful story got started.
Oh, thanks, Raina. Thank you so much for having me. Okay, so the beautiful story of Julie Hardwell, that started a while ago. So when I was growing up, I really wanted to be a vet. So I'm a huge animal lover, and that's all I wanted to do. Until I did work experience at a veterinary clinic, and I was just in tears every day, and it was like that's just not going to be for me. So after school, I didn't know, like I sort of lost my dream, my vision, and my father said to me, look, why don't you join the bank, and then you can work out what you wanted to do. So I joined the bank at the very ground level as a teller. And 21 years later, I was still there. So I had a really awesome 21-year career, and I had a different role every 2 years, and I gradually, you know, worked my way up into senior leadership positions. And what I realized throughout my career was that I just loved leading people, and I loved leading really positive cultures and empowering people to be the best that they could be so that they could shine. Mm-hmm. And that was my thing. And until, you know, I got to the stage within the organization where I didn't really want to go any further, and I didn't know what I wanted to do. So I thought, why not do this for myself? And so I jumped out of my career into my own business 14 years ago, and started the Julie Hyde Consulting, and had no idea what I was doing at that time. It was like such a different ball game. I found the transition really difficult, but I think once I surrounded myself with like-minded people and people who were in the small business game, when I connected with more women in the space as well, because the finance industry where I was is very male-dominated at that time, and then really realized the power of connection and started to really get into my groove in terms of my business and honing my skills towards what I was really good at, which was around that empowerment space. So, and what I do in the business now is I'm very passionate about leadership, always have been, and I really am empowering leaders to rewrite that leadership history book. And what I mean by that now is that leaders need to lead very differently to how they did in the past, particularly given what's happened over the last 18 months. And that's very about enabling them to understand who they are as a leader and what they stand for, but understanding that the only way that they're going to be successful is by empowering people to be their best. So it's connecting with the heads and the hearts of their people and rewriting that history book for our future to work for them rather than against them. So that's sort of me in a little bit of a nutshell. One thing I did 4 years ago too was I wrote my book, Busy. And that's something I'm really busy, really passionate about changing the culture of, is this busyness that we talk about all the time, which can really sabotage what we're trying to achieve in terms of our leadership, our business, our careers, and our lives and health. So that's something that I'm trying to work on changing the culture to something a lot more resourceful.
That's amazing. I really love the story. Thank you so much for sharing that. And I really love the topic of this book. I feel that we really need more encouragement into that, understanding those foundation elements that right now we are bombarded with publicity, with information, with content. There are so many distractions. We feel busy, but that is something that we have to address. And I feel that as soon as possible to start getting control of ourselves and not allowing all of this to overwhelm us. Sometimes we forget about important things in life, family, or self-care, the time with ourselves, which is from where the actual power for action comes from. So I'm very excited about your book, Julie. Thank you so much for that contribution to the world. The world needs more people writing about this amazing topic. Thank you so much. I'm going to proceed to ask you about maybe a little bit about your approach for leadership. How do you feel that we can, is it possible to scale a business through the empowerment of the team? How we could do that?
Yeah. And that's, when we're leaders, I think sometimes people can get really caught up in the title of the leader. It's like, yes, I'm a leader. I've got a title. My business card says I'm a leader. And that is so far from what a leader is all about, because a leader is about serving. It's about leadership is about people. It's not about numbers. It's about, you know, enabling others to be their best so ultimately you can achieve success as well. Mm-hmm. A leader, people look to leaders to follow. You know, it's not about dragging people on a journey. It's about being that person that people want to work for, that people want to do their best for and feel inspired by. And that's where the role model effect comes into play. You know, I'm really passionate about that, because leadership isn't talk. Leadership is action. And it's our actions that talk the loudest, if you like. And we need to be the shining light and the leading example of the change that we want to lead, or of the direction that we're wanting to go in, of the culture that we're wanting to create. So it's very much about leaders anchoring themselves in terms of who they are as a leader. Like, who are you? What do you stand for? And then understanding what you are leading. So it's breaking it down. And once you understand who you are, what you're leading, can really implement a really robust structure around that, like a leadership structure is incredibly important to lead, to be able to lean into, particularly in times of challenge. And leaders go through incredible challenge and have been very much so over the last 18 months. And it's by having that confidence in who you are, it also enables, having that clarity in who you are, it also enables the confidence to do what you need to do, to lead the message, to stay the path, even when things are, you know, getting challenging, or you might not be getting the results as quickly as you would like. And it's also having the courage to be vulnerable and to put up your hand and say, hey, I don't know all the answers. How can you help me? And, you know, surrounding yourself with people who are smarter than you too. But the power of being a role model is something I can't reinforce, you know, strongly enough, particularly as we move into our next phase. I hate to use the word normal, because what is normal? You know, our life post-COVID, it's, you know, what does that look like? It's incredibly different to what it was, because people are different. People are changed. Mm-hmm. From what we used to be. And you only need to look at their stats coming out of the US over the last month, in that over 7.6 million people resigned from their roles in April and May. And one of the main reasons they did that is because of how they were treated during COVID. So that's in, you know, that's how they were made to feel. And that is from the organizational or a leadership perspective. So leadership is powerful. You can lift others up or you can cut them down, and you have that choice as a leader.
Yeah, that's interesting. I really want to emphasize or highlight when you mentioned that it's about putting yourself of service for others, that it gets confusing sometimes when there are corporations that have had these old models in place where people confuse the leadership with a direction position. For example, I'm the director, or I am the, and then it gets translated like I am the leader here. But a title doesn't make someone a leader. Actually, there might be many people that is in other sub positions or sub levels, and there might be better leaders in those groups sometimes when we see the examples. I've also been working for companies and big organizations, government, etc., and I've seen this a lot for me, and that's why I feel super excited every time that somebody talks about this new concept of a leader as someone of service, with that compassionate approach that is able to put themselves in the other situation in order to guide them with a better solution or with a better outcome. And I really feel grateful that you mentioned that, because that is key to change that mentality of a person at the top. I also like to highlight when you mentioned something related with the empowerment of the teams.
Yeah.
So how can we make, and that would be another question, how can we actually make the other ones, I dream with the day where the other ones, like the collaborators that we have, I don't even call them employees. For me, they are collaborators. They are all a team. How can we actually make them leaders? What do you use particularly, Julie, to make the collaborators leaders?
Yes, I love that. I love it. It's a great question, because the difference in your outcomes and the culture is if you treat your team as a team of leaders rather than a team of employees or a team of doers. It's a really big distinction. And so I think one of the biggest things, and I always come back to empowerment, but I think to be able to empower people, because within organizations, regardless of how big and small, you know, within my business, I have, you know, an operating model, I have, you know, processes and ways of working that I need to happen for my clients to support the brand of the business, etc. So there are boundaries that are in place for any business, but it's understanding that in order to get the best out of your people, you've got to really tap into their intelligence, enabling them to contribute. Like, you've hired people for a reason, and I find it really fascinating when you go to such extraordinary lengths to hire someone, go through that recruiting process, which can be expensive in time and money. You bring someone into an organization, then you sit them in a corner and basically just say, right, do your job. And there's no further conversations and there's no engagement. It's like, this person's coming to your business with different skills, different experiences, different mindset. Let's tap into that. Like, how can they make us better? You know, we're so much better together than we are alone. So it's definitely around that. Okay, asking a lot of questions of your team rather than telling. So, you know, this is what we're going to be doing, and it might be project based. You know, this is the outcome that we need to achieve. How do you think we can achieve the best outcome? What are the steps that you think we need to put in place? right? What's the communication that we need to have in place with our clients? But it's asking them, you know the outcome. Mm-hmm. Get them to come up with all the ideas. And then the beauty of that for a leader is everyone's got clarity around what we need to be doing. And what the leader then should be doing is then keeping people accountable to what they've committed to do. Because accountability is a piece that is often missing, but it's very, very powerful in terms of creating momentum and also increasing motivation. And it's not about the micromanagement, you know, the hover tactics. It's about, look, I need you to come to me by this time and I need to, I'd like to see, you know, your work at this point. It's just being really clear. And then having a conversation. If that doesn't happen, it's like, what's prevented you from that? But the accountability piece is a big one. So I think there's the asking questions, it's being really curious, it's understanding where people are at, and it's also understanding the skills that each of your employees have and how you can play to their strengths, right? We often focus on improving people's development areas or weaknesses, but how can you play to each of your team's strengths, and then how can you get them to collaborate together to achieve a really great outcome?
Yeah, thank you so much. I can see this is amazing because in accountability, the way that we can actually get the buy-in from them or the actual compromise from them comes from where they have proposed themselves the ideas for how the work could be better. So psychologically, we tend to fulfill our role better when we feel it as or we design the role, as we design the ideas. So if a leader comes to me and say, we need to create this new project and we need to follow up with these milestones, How do you believe that it could be the best to organize this? And if I come and say, I think that we should create a Gantt chart and we should follow up with this structure, I would be more prone to actually accomplish that because I was the one who gave the idea of building the Gantt. So I feel empowered, right? Like I feel it's my thing. So I have to do it because I was the one who said that was the best to do. So I love when you mentioned that for accountability, I think that this is exactly what we need and that we very often are missing companies. Again, I always analyze companies also in the companies that I've been. And all of these, aspects that are more of the relationships of one-to-one of the manager, let's say, that typically how it works in the corporate world with the employee, these type of methodologies are often missed. And this is very important. It seems very simple, but it's very important. Usually we wait as an employee to be told what to do. Yeah. And sometimes we just don't feel connected. That's the problem. The connection maybe can be achieved better when we see ourselves in the task. We see that there is an important part of ourselves as a person to achieve that outcome. So I'm very grateful that you mentioned that. Thank you so much. So in that, how can we build a culture of high performance? Because we're speaking about this accountability and how can we get that buy-in. But high performance is more aspects, right? How can we be that culture of high performance, even in a small business, for example?
Absolutely. I think one of the critical components to high performance is trust. And you mentioned that relationship between the leader and the team. So that is absolutely critical because high performance means like, everyone is achieving their best, right? So it's everyone contributing. You can't have a culture of high performance if a couple of people are not, you know, if you've got people pulling in the other direction. So a culture of high performance is built on trust. And that all comes back to how the leader leads. And it brings me back to that role modeling, right? So by a leader walking their talk, by doing what they say they're going to do, that builds congruence with people. It's like, okay, so, and that congruence then leads to trust. Because it's like, okay, so we set the vision, we know what we need to achieve, we know our actions, and the leader is going to, you know, set out what he's going to do, what we expect of the team and how we're going to do that. And so it's like, if the team sees the leader walk their talk, that builds that trust. It also, and that trust is really critical in terms of enabling the conversations, because you said, you know, often an employee will sit there and wait to be told. That's not a culture of high performance, right? That's just someone showing up to do their job. So you need to be really building that engagement with people, in that they want to do their best, they want to contribute, but that they also have that foundation of trust, that they can have the conversations that they need to. So, and that might be that, hey, I'm not feeling on top of my game today. I might need to pull back a little bit. It might be noticing that someone else isn't on top of their game, and how can we address that, you know, as a team, and also with the leader. And it's also having that conversation with the leader if they're feeling overwhelmed, because we spoke about that busy before, and that can absolutely sabotage high performance. Because when people feel that they're way too busy, they get to that point of overwhelm, and that does not enable them to be productive, to be efficient, and to be effective. Because productive is doing the right things efficiently and effectively, not just sitting there doing things. So it's enabling those conversations quickly, because I find that when people get to that space, particularly if they're in that people pleaser category, which a lot of women find themselves in, they just want to please, and they do things for others before they do anything for themselves. So there can be a lot of guilt in putting their hand up and saying, look, I can't do what I've got to do. And of course, you can't say that you can't do anything in an organization, particularly when you're employed, right? That's not a great message. So it's about reframing that conversation to, hey, look, can I sit down with you? I've got all of these priorities and I can't get them all done at once. So can we just work out what needs to be done first, second, and third? But the amount of people that don't have the confidence or don't feel that they've got the relationship with their leader to enable them to do that is enormous. And that makes me really sad. And that's where, again, my work in terms of empowering leaders to be role models and to have that self-awareness about how they're impacting on people is really critical, particularly mm-hmm. now when we're going through, like in Australia right now, where we've just gone into our sixth lockdown. So I think I've spent a third of my life over the last 18 months in lockdown. So, and that's not an exaggeration, but people go through the roller coaster effect of emotions. And they've got to feel like they can trust their leader to let them know how they're feeling at any given time.
Yeah.
And for the leader to do the same thing. Like, leaders aren't robots, they're human too. So it's really that trust, that human aspect, understanding that people are human, they're not robots, and to be having a really high level of communication. That's how we're going to get empowerment.
Yeah, thank you so much for that. Yeah, I think that is beautiful to explore this concept of, which is not just a concept, but we've seen it sometimes, that anybody can be the leader, actually. And that's why I love your insight and your experience on the sharing of this, because we typically believe that if we're the employee or if we are in lower levels, what is called, how it's perceived in the corporate world, we cannot be leaders yet. But it's not true, because the leadership is like an innate, right? Like an internal approach to things. And of course, it relates to many personal traits also, but it's something that we can develop, like a skill that we can develop. And we can lead beautifully and very smartly from a position of an entry level job. That is totally possible too. That is actually maybe something that might help us to get to next level, for example, in an organization, developing that. So this is just to say that it's not just for businesses even. I believe your insight is super, super important also for any person in any organization at any level.
Absolutely.
It's so useful.
We have to, to be a leader, you've got to be a leader of self first. So that's the first thing to think of. So even if you're, a mom at home with your kids, you know, if you're not working, or if you're working in the community, if you are self-employed, like if you're an entrepreneur, you are a leader. You don't need a team to be a leader. You don't need a title to be a leader. Mm-hmm. We all need to be a leader of self before we can be a great leader of others. Mm-hmm. So, if you are wanting to climb that corporate ladder within an organization, people and get to a leadership position, there's power in enabling others to see that potential in you before you go for that position.
Mm-hmm.
And, that's all about self-awareness and about personal accountability and pride. Just having pride and having high standards for yourself.
Yes, yes. Thank you so much. So what are most of the common challenges that because you've had a very long career and with a lot of experiences, I guess, what have you seen as the most common challenges in terms of being leaders or creating leaders for people, or like what have been their challenges or their obstacles, or what's the most common thing that people need to address that you've seen?
I think the most common obstacle for people to be really good leaders is that busyness. And we touched on it before. Life is so busy, and particularly here, I'm not sure if it's the same in Canada, but in Australia, you ask anyone how they are and they will tell you that they're busy. That is the default answer. And you can't possibly be busier than me because I'm the busiest ever. It becomes a bit of a challenge, and people wear it like a badge of honor. But what busy does is, we're busy in, we're busy doing, we're just getting stuff done. We've got our head down and our rear end up. And what that often prevents us from doing is looking up and elevating our thinking, right? So we're not seeing what's happening around us. We're not noticing how people are feeling or what our impact is. So our self-awareness can be really low when we're stuck in this just busyness and being reactive and putting out, the biggest fire that's going on at any given time. And that is really sabotaging people's leadership for so many reasons. But I think for probably the biggest one is that connection with people. And so many leaders think they don't have time to have coaching conversations with their team, or they don't have time to stop and think and reflect on what's going on. And they don't have time to look after themselves in the first instance, right? Because how you look after you, how you fuel yourself, then comes through in terms of how you operate as a leader from your mindset and your behaviors. Because how we feel absolutely impacts on how we lead, with mood, with attitude, with tolerance levels. So the whole busyness aspect of it can be completely overwhelming and all-consuming, when what we need to be doing to be really effective leaders of any level, of self, of others, is to stop in order to be more effective. And it can sound really counterintuitive when you're just going like the clappers and, you know, you've got so many balls up in the air, you know, with work and home life and kids and partners and everything else that's going on. But it is that point in time where you've just got to stop and understand what are my top three priorities that I'm trying to achieve here and make sure you're doing them. Because it's when we get to that stage of when we're not doing what's really important to us, it can get to that stage of feeling like we're really unfulfilled. And we ask ourselves, why am I doing this? There's got to be a better way. Why am I doing this to myself? So, yeah, it is yes. Absolutely 100% that busyness that is a huge sabotage.
Thank you so much for that. I really also I want to connect with this amazing philosophy that I use for my personal life, which is the minimalist philosophy. I like minimalism, that movement, because it has taught me about how this philosophy of less is more. Yeah. And it just not helps you to declutter your home, but also declutter your mind. Yeah. And in the decluttering process, you realize how you've been taught or you've been conditioned to believe that these are the things that you need to be doing in order to demonstrate that you fit in the society or in order to demonstrate that you are being productive, you know, like being busy. But it's not necessarily the case. When we stop and think, is this real? We might realize more often than not that it's just a concept that has been developed for us. So the stopping and really realizing, assessing, it's a very good exercise. Thank you so much for mentioning that. In order to come back to ourselves and assess properly those priorities that you mentioned, what is really important right now? Usually we find out that most of the stuff is not really important. Because we haven't assessed it. We just did it as mechanically, we just do it. But under assessment, we realize more often than not that most of the stuff is not really important. So that is the invitation. And of course, Julie, thank you so much for so much insight and for bringing this very, very foundational aspect of leadership that maybe some of us might be ignoring. And I think that your work is very educational, and that's what we need to learn what are these new maybe models for some people, or how is that we can embrace this new, as I mentioned, for some people, this might be new models that are basically there for to make our lives easier and better. Thank you so much, Julie. I wonder, is there anything that you wish I had asked you today?
That I wish you had asked me? No. I think given, you know, your audience and who's listening, I think it's just understanding that, you know, we can't do everything all at the one time. And it's understanding, you know, as we talked about, the priorities and what's really important for you to enable yourself to do that. So if I had a piece of advice for myself, you know, way back when I first started my career, it would have been to believe in myself more and to stop trying to please others. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's wisdom. We are just in a journey, in a beautiful journey with ourselves. Sometimes we don't realize, but in that journey is that we get to discover all of this potential that we have there. So thank you so much, Julie. And I always like to close the show with an extended invitation to connect in social media so people can get to continue connecting with you farther than just the podcast. So if you have things that you want to share with us, you can tag us in social media. We can reshare everything that you might want to share with people. Maybe, for example, your projects that you're working on, your book, your offers, your discounts, your anything that you want to share, your knowledge, everything. We are open to continue this conversation in social media also with you.
Amazing. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Julie, and see you in the next episode. Bye for now.